In thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. Hymn number 65 on the page 202, standing as we sing. Let us sing it out with all of our hearts this evening. Let us stand as we sing. Our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord for his help and blessing and presence among us here tonight in this time of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we bow before thee tonight and we come to thee in and through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And, O God, we thank thee for Christ coming to this world. We thank thee that he came in the fullness of thy time. We thank thee, O God, for his spotless life, his perfect life. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that Christ went to the cross for us. And we thank thee that upon that cross he shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins and from all our iniquities. And Father, we thank thee tonight for that fountain that was opened up for sin and for all uncleanness. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, tonight as thy people, we can rejoice that there is forgiveness of sins, there's pardon, there's peace purchased for us by the blood of the cross. And Father, we thank that Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he rose again victorious the third day, that he is alive forevermore. Lord, thy word tells us that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight as thy people, that we can say of a truth, because he lives, we shall live also. Father, we thank thee for all that we have in Christ as our Redeemer tonight, for the pardon of all of our sins. We thank thee that our sins, though many, have been forgiven, that they have been blotted out, they have been cast into the sea of thy forgiveness, never to be remembered against us anymore. We thank thee that there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for that peace that Christ purchased for us. He became our peace. And Father, we thank thee that through Christ our Savior we've been brought nigh, O God, to thee, the eternal, the almighty, and the holy God of heaven. Lord, thy word tells us that Christ died for us the just, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee that as thy people, we who once were afar off, have now been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Lord, bless our coming together tonight, we pray. We pray that thou would cleanse our hearts afresh, and Father, outpour thy Holy Spirit upon us. We thank thee for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who abides within. And oh Lord, you have told us in thy word that thou said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And Father, our prayer would be that even now at the very outset of this prayer meeting, that thou wilt draw near, that thou, Lord, will pour out thy Spirit upon us. Lord, bless us tonight around thy precious word. Lord, we thank that thy word is truth, that it is a living word, that it is an eternal word. And we thank that thou hast a word for us in our every time of need. And Lord, our prayer would be tonight that thou will come by thy Holy Spirit, bless thy word, thy truth to our hearts. Apply the word of God with power to our souls, we pray. And Lord, help us not only to be hearers of thy word, but doers of thy word. Thou said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Lord, bless us in our season of prayer. And Lord, we come to thee poor and needy, like the disciples of old. And we would say, Lord, teach us to pray. O Father, pour upon us each one the spirit of prayer and grace and supplication. Now, Lord, you've said that we are to pray without ceasing. We are to continue in prayer. And Lord, we realize our own weakness, our own inability in prayer. Yet, Lord, thou hast promised in thy word the Holy Spirit to help us in our infirmity, even in prayer. And Lord, come tonight and bless us in prayer. Teach us to pray. Lay upon our hearts and our minds those things that thou would have us to pray for. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that prayer moves the hand of God. And Father, we thank that thou hast said on thy word that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We thank thee for all who've been able to come tonight. The Lord bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Meet the needs of our hearts, of our lives. Bless our homes and our family circles, we pray. Do unite each one in the Lord, we ask of thee. And remember, Lord, those also who may be listening in online tonight, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they might be, and others who may listen in even in future times, Lord, speak to them through thy word. We thank that the word of God is not bound. And Lord, have a word in season for such. We think of those that cannot come tonight because of age, sickness, and infirmity. The Lord bless them and touch them and minister to them. For those who mourn and grieve, we pray that thou will comfort their hearts and that thou, Lord, will be near to them and that thou, Lord, would fill the vacant chair with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. And for others who cannot be with us tonight because of other works of necessity and mercy, Lord, bless them and encourage them in the Lord. We thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna amongst the boys and girls. Bless that seed that has been sown. We thank thee for every boy and girl there this term that has heard thy word. And Lord, may it live on, bring forth fruit, may it be a living word, that incorruptible word that brings forth fruit unto salvation in these young lives. And Lord, those who have trusted thee, bless them and lead them on in their Christian life, and bless the homes and the families from which they come from and save them. Remember the other meetings throughout the week here in Bethel and also in Maguire's Bridge, and bless these meetings as they continue, we pray. And Lord, grant that through this witness, many children, and not only children, but the parents likewise, will not only hear the gospel, but come to know and to trust the Christ of the gospel. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, Lord. Grant your blessing upon them. Gospel missions on at this time. We thank you for every faithful effort there is in the gospel going on at this time. And we thank thee that thou art upon the throne tonight and that thou art still saving souls. We thank thee for those souls that we've heard of in recent times that have been saved, that have come to Christ. And Lord, we would pray, Lord, that they would be the first fruits of many. And Lord, we would say to thee that while in others thou art calling, do not pass us by. We thank thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day. We thank thee, Father, for those whom thou didst bring in morning and evening. And we thank thee for those unsaved that were present. And Lord, just speak on to their hearts especially. Bring them under deep conviction of sin. And Lord, cause them to see their need of Christ and disturb the sleep of death and the sleep of sin within their hearts. And Lord, may they come in faith and in repentance to Christ and trust him as their Savior before it is forever too late, we pray. Bless us now, we ask. Do us good. Cover our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Shut us in, Lord, with thyself. And may we go home tonight rejoicing in our hearts, knowing, Lord, that we've met with thee, knowing that we've heard the voice of God. And may we each one be strengthened, Lord, with might by thy Spirit and by thy power, O God, in the inner man. For we do pray and ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 319. 319 in your hymn book. You'll find it on the page 305. Far away the noise of strife. Far away, sorry, I've just lost my page, the place there. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear, the things of earth and vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. Hymn number 319. 319 is the hymn number. You find it on the page 305, standing as we sing, and keep up the good singing and singing it out to the glory of the Lord. 319, standing as we sing. Standing as we sing. going to turn tonight, please, on the Word of God for Bible reading to the Gospel of John. We're turning tonight to John's Gospel, to the chapter number 19, the 19th chapter of the book of John, John's Gospel, reading from verse 1 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 18. Turning tonight in God's Word to John chapter 19, and the verse 1, while you're looking it up, we welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you afresh around God's precious Word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Do remember, please, the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting. Youth fellowship meeting here at 8. Our brother Richard will be speaking. And then the services on the Lord's Day, the Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. the morning worship service, 12 noon. We belong to bring God's Word in the morning, and that'll be followed with the Lord's table immediately after the morning meeting. And then the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. Remember, it's the special parents' night for the children's meetings. Pray for that and do all you can to make it known and to invite and encourage others in. The boys and girls will be taking part, and our brother, Mr. David Cahoon from our Dungannon Church, will be bringing the word to the boys and girls and mums and dads. So do be much in prayer for that. Make it known and pray the Lord's blessing would be upon that evening. And could I just maybe ask if I could maybe meet with the elders just for about 5 minutes or so just after the meeting tonight, if the members of session, just remember that, just for about 5 minutes or so after the meeting tonight. That'll be appreciated. Thank you. John's Gospel, chapter number 19, and the verse number 1, let us hear God's precious word. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and the two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 18, and we pray the Lord will bless this reading of his precious and holy word into our hearts this evening. The little text of scripture I want us just to look at and consider for a while before we get down to prayer are the words of Christ that you find there in the opening part of verse number 11 of this chapter as he addresses Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Back in the book of Psalms, in Psalm number 62, the psalmist David says there these words. He says, "Power belongeth unto God." And with those words, he really speaks to us about God's sovereign power. Also, the hymn writer makes mention of that same great truth in one of the hymns that he penned and said these words about the Lord. He says, "A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand." And it is this same great truth of God's sovereign power that the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us of in our text tonight here in John 19 and the verse number 11. And he says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." The chapter here before us is a very solemn passage of scripture because it deals with the trial of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his trial, he is mocked, he is scourged, he is smitten, he is beaten. We see there at the end of verse 5, John says, "Behold the man." And in this passage of scripture, in these verses in particular, we behold Christ, we behold him, we view him as the suffering Savior, the Savior who suffered for us. The passage also tells us about the unbelieving Jews, those who reject Christ as their Savior, those who cry out for his death and for his very blood. Look at verse 6 and verse 15 of the chapter. It says, "When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" And then you have the Jewish crowd in verse 15, and they give the same response. And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." But then the passage also tells us about Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He who was the man who was in charge of trying Christ at this time. And despite finding no fault in him, twice we have read that already tonight in our reading, how Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Despite finding no fault in Christ, he gives Christ over to crucifixion. Look at the latter part there of verse 6 of the chapter. It says, "Pilate saith unto them," that was the Jewish chief priests and officers, regarding Christ, he says, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Now our text here this evening is really part of Christ's conversation with Pontius Pilate at this time. If you look at verse 9 of the chapter, you'll see there how Pilate, in this trial, he asked Christ a particular question. The question is this: "Whence art thou?" In other words, he was asking Christ, "Where have you descended from? What is your background?" And we see how Christ is silent in this matter and in the answer to this question to Pontius Pilate. And in his rage, no doubt, he was, as it were, offended by Christ's silence to him in his rage. In verse 10, Pontius Pilate then makes this statement to Christ. He says, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" My Pilate there, you see, by that statement, thought himself to be more powerful than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was before him in this particular trial. And in verse number 11, you see how Christ then replies to this statement from the lips of Pontius Pilate. by saying, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." And here he reminded Pontius Pilate, and not only reminds Pontius Pilate, but also reminds you and I also tonight, of God's sovereign, God's almighty power. And people tonight, as we would then consider these words of Christ here in verse number 11, the three things in particular I want to set before you tonight regarding God's sovereign power. May it be an encouragement to our hearts. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, that God is the source of all power and all authority. God is the source of all power and all authority. And you see that from what Christ says in our text in verse 11. He says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Notice that little phrase there, "from above." That is a specific, direct reference to God above, to God in heaven. And here Christ was telling Pontius Pilate that any power that he had, any authority he had on that occasion, had come from God. In other words, God was the source of all power. God is the source of all might. And God is the source of all authority. And people, can I say tonight, brethren and sisters in Christ, this is a truth that we must never forget. This is a truth that we must ever keep before us. All power and all authority that people have, it comes from God. Because God is the source of all power and all authority. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he preached to the people in Mars Hill, speaking of God to them. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And there we see how our health, our strength, it all comes from God. Again, think of the words of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 2, speaking of the Lord. He says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." And that there again reminds us that all our wisdom and our knowledge, it comes from the Lord. The Lord is the source of it all. And you think of the words of the prophet Zechariah, speaking about the Lord and his power. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And that verse reminds us, it teaches us, that if we see anything accomplished in God's work, whatever it is all through God's might, God's power, through the power and the blessing of God the Holy Spirit. And this is a truth we must never lose sight of, that God is the source of all power. He is the source of all authority. And in light of this, dear people of God, tonight, it is vital. It is an absolute necessity that we as God's people, that we pray. That we pray continually. And that we ask the Lord for his strength. That we ask the Lord for his wisdom, his power to serve the Lord, to do his will in our homes, amongst our family and loved ones. In our workplaces, in the communities where we reside and live, and in his church, and in the work of God. If God is the source of all power, and he is, how vital then it is that we pray and seek him for his help and power and blessing and grace in our lives and in our service for God. You turn in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter number 40. And here we're reminded of this fact of God's power and the need to seek him and for that power and for his help. Go down to Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse number 29 and the verse number 31, the final verses, as it were, of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, it says of the Lord, notice it, "He giveth power to the faint." This was something Isaiah realized. God is the source of all power. He says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord," notice it, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And waiting there speaks of prayer, seeking God for strength, for power, for grace, for blessing, for help, enablement, wisdom in all that we do for God and as we seek to live the Christian life. And people of God, how vital it is then that we pray, that we seek the Lord. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. We are to pray, and we're to pray, and we are to pray. We are to continue in prayer, because God is the source of all power and all authority. And people, as we think of this truth, it's important also to remember that in the affairs of men, and indeed in the affairs of the nations of the world, we must also remember that God is sovereign. All that's going on in the world around us, we must never lose sight of the fact that God is sovereign. We must always keep before us that the sovereign power of God, and that God is upon the throne of the universe. You turn back there to the book of Daniel chapter number 4, and you'll see this here from the words of Nebuchadnezzar. He realized this, and he was the most powerful of emperors in his day, but God caused him to bow down low before God, and he acknowledges the sovereignty of God, the sovereign power of God. Look at Daniel chapter 4, and just look at what he says about the Lord in verse number 17 of that chapter, at the end of verse 17. Here he is speaking about the Lord. And he says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it," notice it, "the basis of men." God raises up and God casts down. It says, "Or even the basis of men," even those that are the most ungodliest of men. They're in the sovereign power of God. They're under God's sovereign power and dominion. Look at verse number 25 of the chapter. It says, at the end of that verse, it says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Again, the sovereign power of God. And go down then to the latter part of verse 35 of the same chapter again. Look at what it says about the Lord. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou, Lord?" And there you see the sovereign power of God being taught to us in the word of God. And in all these things, we must remember, people, that God is upon the throne. Even in all that is going on in the world at this time, and you think of the war and Putin and all that's going on out there, and Ukraine, and the spirit of Antichrist that's rising more and more in society, God has not vacated his throne. God is still upon the throne. God is sovereign. He is powerful over all. And in all these things, God is working out his sovereign will and a sovereign purpose and a sovereign plan for this earth and for this world. And all of God's sovereign plan and purpose for this earth and for this world will be fulfilled and will come to pass to the last detail. Yes, God is the source of all power and all authority. But not only are we reminded here that God is the source of all power and authority, also through the words of our text, we are also reminded about the stewardship of God's power. You look again in particular at what Pilate says to Christ in verse 10, immediately prior to our text. In his rage, he says to the Lord, he says, "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And there he speaks of a choice to release Christ, or if you like, a choice to crucify Christ. And in reply to that, in verse number 11, Christ says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." And with that answer, the Lord there was reminding Pontius Pilate that Pilate on this occasion had a responsibility to use his power and to use his authority aright. And my Pilate realized that responsibility, because in another passage of Scripture, he asked the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" But sadly, we see from the passage of Scripture that Pilate did not use his power and his authority aright. He knows here that Christ is innocent of any crime. He says there at the end of verse number 6, I find in him no fault at all. Yet despite this knowledge that Christ was without sin, and that he was innocent, because of the fear of man and because he wanted to seek man's favor and man's applause, he commits the awful sin of rejecting Christ and of giving Christ up to be crucified at this time. You see that there from what is said in verse 8 and verse number 16 of the chapter. It says when Pilate heard that, he was more afraid. He was overcome by the fear of man, and he did not want to fall out, as it were, with the crowd and lose favor with Caesar. And hence then in verse number 16 it says, then delivered he him, that's Pilate, delivered Christ unto them, unto the crowd, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. Here we see how in all of this and all the trial of Christ that Pilate, he misused and he abused his power and authority that had been given to him. And there's a lesson there for us as Christians, dear people, believer in Christ, in all our positions in life as God's people. Yes, you and I also have a responsibility to use the power and the authority that we've been given from God. We have a responsibility to use that power and that authority for God's glory, for God's honor, and for the good of others. You remember what Paul said to the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Again, think of Paul's words to the church at Galatia. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. My, we have a responsibility as Christians to use that power, that authority, those gifts, those talents even that God has given to us, to use them for God's honor and glory and for the good of others in life around us. Believer, I say to you tonight, whatever the talents are that God has given to you, whatever, believer, your position is, or whatever our position is in our home as parents, is whatever our position might be in the workplace, in the community where we live, in the church, in God's work that we're involved in, it's vital that we always use these gifts, these talents, for God's honor and glory, and that we do what is right and pleasing in the sight of God. How important then it is that we have that right stewardship of God's power and God's authority and gifts and talents that he's given to us. You think of the words of David in Psalm 101 and verse number 2. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That was the desire of his heart. Again in Psalm 119 verse 133, the psalmist prays, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. His desire was that his walk, his life would honor the Lord, glorify the Lord, and be right and pleasing in the sight of God. And that's the example, child of God, that you and I are to follow. The Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. God has given us gifts. He's given us blessings. He's given us positions in our homes, in our families, in our communities, in God's work, whatever. Wherever we are in life, wherever the providence of God has led us and cast us upon, and in all those places, we're to use the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the blessings that God has given to us for his honor, for his glory, for the good of others. And also in this matter, people of God, it's important that we pray, especially for those that are in authority, that they would not misuse their talents or their gifts or their abilities that God has given to them, but rather they would use them in a way that is right and pleasing in the sight of God. And that is something that you and I as Christians are commanded to do in the Scriptures. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and you'll see that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. And then notice the statement, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty. Yes, it's right that we use our gifts, our talents for God's honor and glory and for the good of others. But it's also vital, dear people, that we pray for those that are in authority, that they would not misuse those gifts that God has given to them in authority and in power, but that they would use them aright for God's honor and glory in a way and in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Yes, we see God is the source of all power. We see the stewardship here of God's power. But notice one final thought in connection with our text tonight. Notice the protection that God's power affords. The protection that God's power affords. Look there again at our text, verse 11. As Christ here speaks to Pontius Pilate, he says, thou couldest have no power at all, notice it, against me, except it were given thee from above. And these words here remind Pilate that he could do nothing against Christ without God's permission. He says there, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ was under the protection of his heavenly Father. And there was no one on earth who could lift up a finger against Christ without God allowing him to do so. That's what Christ was telling and teaching Pilate here. If you turn back with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, you'll see an example of this. Here, Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, it deals with the temptation of Christ by the devil. The devil attacks him. And look at verse number 2 there of Luke chapter 4. It says, of Christ being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And he was attacked by the devil, but God sustained Christ. Christ was victorious over those temptations of the devil. And then further on down the chapter, you'll see how there were those, they wanted to take Christ's life at that very time. There was a real satanic attack here upon Christ in this passage of Scripture. And it was all to try and stop Christ from going to the cross and dying for the sins of his people. Look at verse number 28 of Luke chapter 4. It says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. The people were filled with wrath, anger against Christ. Verse 29, and says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. Notice it, that they might cast him down headlong. They wanted to kill Christ. They wanted to destroy him in their rage and in their malice. Look at the next verse, verse number 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught there on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Why did the crowd not kill Christ that day in the rage? Because God did not allow it. God did not permit it. And he passed by, he passed through them. And he went on with his work and his witness and his service for his heavenly Father. And people of God, here's a truth to take note of for us as God's people. What is true of Christ in this regard is also true of all God's people. You see, believer in Christ in this world, God guards you and I and all his people, the Bible says, as the apple of his eye. That's the most delicate part of your eye. Christian, you are as the apple of God's eye, and as such, he guards you, he protects you. Turn your Bible back to Deuteronomy chapter number 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and the verse number 10, you'll see this for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and the verse number 10, it speaks here of the Lord and his people, and it says, he found them in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, notice these words, and he kept him In other words, he protected him. He protected Israel as the apple of his eye. And that just doesn't apply to Israel of old. It applies to every born-again Christian, every blood-bought child of God. That is your portion in Christ, dear believer. You're kept as the apple of God's eye. You think of what the psalmist says. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah to the Christian, to the child of God, following the Lord, serving the Lord, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And my, the devil was allowed to do nothing against Christ without the permission of God the Father. And my, Pilate could do nothing against Christ without the permission of God. And so it is with you and I as believers. We are protected by God here on earth. You think of Job. Turn your Bible back to Job chapter 1 and the verse number 12. And you see this in the case of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 12. The chapter tells how the devil wanted to take the very life of Job. He wanted to take the life of Job from him. But God said no. God put a hedge about Job's life. Job chapter 1, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only, notice it, upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And here you see how God protected Job from the devil taking his life. He put a hedge about him. God said no. People, the humblest, yes, the weakest believer is protected by the Lord in this world. And my, no one can touch one of God's little ones except it is by divine permission. And child of God, this means for you and I as believers in Christ that you and I are immortal. Immortal on earth until our work on earth for Christ is done and finished and complete. Believer in Christ tonight, be encouraged in all the trials of life and in all your service for God and in doing God's will. You're under God's guardianship, under God's guardian care. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The psalmist says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God saves his people and God keeps his people. Turning your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter number 41. And go down with me, please, to the verse number 10 of that chapter. And the Lord says, believer, to you tonight in the meeting, he says, fear thou not. Are you beset tonight by fears as a believer? Christian, the Lord says, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And Christian, this is your portion in Christ. Oh, may such a promise of God's protection and God's protecting care encourage you, believer, to be strong for the Lord, to be bold for the Lord, to be courageous for the Lord. And these days, because he who has saved you, he keeps you. He keeps you as the apple of his eye. He who is God Almighty, he who sits upon the throne of the universe. Child of God, you're in his hand. The Bible says that none can pluck you out of the Savior's hand. May God bless his word and his truth to our hearts tonight. Well, maybe turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 585 on the page 412. A lovely old hymn reminding us of this great truth that God takes up the cause of his people, that we're in his guardianship and in his care. It says, rejoice, believer, in the Lord, who makes your cause his own. The hope that's built upon his word can ne'er be overthrown. 585, 585, we'll stand as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. to just get down to our time of prayer, encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord, one after the other, men and women alike, as the Lord will lead us tonight. Remember the services on the Lord's Day. Remember especially the parents' night and the Lord's evening. Pray for the children, that they would gather in, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles as well, and God would speak through his word, even to needy hearts, even unto salvation. Remember the communion service as well. Pray for the calendar distribution as well throughout the month of December, that God would bless his word, the printed page. Do remember the sick, please, in your prayers. Muriel's mother, Mrs. Gibson, is ill in hospital. Do remember her in your prayers. And remember also David Fleming as well, down in Altley Galvin in treatment. Remember him in your prayers at this time. And do remember the Reverend Cook. We called with him yesterday, and he's fairly good form. He wants to thank you for your prayers for him, and he's encouraged in the Lord, so do continue to remember him and strengthen him. Do pray for our brother Colin. He has that responsibility of preaching at his brother's funeral. That's on Monday morning next, 11 a.m. in Brown's Funeral Parlour up in Newtonards Road, and then the committal is at 12 noon in Dundonald Seminary. So pray for Colin, especially as he brings God's word there at that family funeral, that he know God's help and grace. Do remember, please, our missionaries as well at home and abroad, the students of the college doing exams at this time. And also do pray for Sister Margaret McRae with us, going down this weekend to help out in a CF camp down in Durrow, down in the south of Ireland. Pray that she and all who gather there would know God's help as well, and especially young people as they gather in under the sound of God's word. Encourage as many as possible to pray as the Lord leads us tonight in the time that is left. Maybe ask her.